Namaste. This is Yoga Therapy Podcast, and I'm your host, Shira Cohen, yoga teacher, yoga therapist, and Ayurvedic wellness educator. In these conversations with experts in the field of yoga therapy, you'll find out what it is and how it can help you and your loved ones to reclaim well-being. We'll touch on physical as well as mental health, physiology, emotions, women's health, spiritual well-being, goddesses, and self-development in the fullest sense. Listening to another's story can change ours, so thank you for showing up, and let's begin this journey together. Hey everyone, today we are joined by Jolene Lenz. So she is someone I just met on social media, and we were just talking about social media before we started recording and how we both want to get off it because it is not aligned to the spiritual path, to a better world, to the way we want to live with people. She helps people find their purpose and calling, and she coaches people in how to start their awakening process. So thank you, Jolene, for being here, and welcome.
Well, thank you, Shira, so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, this is great. And she's also a podcaster, so this is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. I was going to say, I know, mine is called A View Beyond the Ordinary, just so you know. So it's so fun doing podcasts.
Yes, yes. I love it as well. Okay, so tell us your story. How did it start for you that you had, I imagine you had an awakening process at some point, and you want to share this with other people?
I did, Shira. So for me, it started really in my late 30s. Uh-huh. And it was probably the age 38, somewhere in there. And what happened to me is first I lost my cousin, and my cousin was somebody who was really close to me in my life. Mm-hmm. She was one of my best friends. So to lose her she was an aerobics instructor, really health oriented, and to see her get sick with leukemia and die within 3 weeks, I was shocked. Wow. So that was really my first blow. And then about a year later, my dad was visiting me, and my mom and dad, they lived in Missouri at the time, and I was living in Colorado, and he elected to have his knee replacement surgery there in the Denver area. And while he was visiting me, he had an embolism 3 weeks after his surgery, just right as he was starting to really heal, and he passed away really quickly.
Oh, sorry.
And yeah, the loss of my dad within a year after my cousin, and then followed by that, I had a few friends that passed away, one from my book club, another friend from my book club. It was just random things that happened all within a course of really, you know, a year. Mm-hmm. And that left me really in a dark, fearful place. Mm-hmm. I started to question, you know, why am I here? What is life about? And really what happened is I ended up getting sick. So I started to have pain because I thought, oh my gosh, if my cousin could die and she was health oriented, you know, this could happen to me. Mm-hmm. And it probably started about a year after all that. And I noticed a pain, you know, in my side. And I went and had several diagnostic tests done over the course of probably a 3 to 6 month period, trying to figure out what it was to eliminate, you know, what is happening. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening is just one night I finally had told my husband, I need to go to the emergency room. I wasn't sleeping. I was at this stage really in a full depression. Oh. And ended up in the ER, and it was the ER doctor, Shira, that really, and you would be surprised in conventional medicine to have an ER doctor say to me after they did a CT scan and he evaluated me, he said, Jolene, I really believe that you've gone through a lot of stress. He goes, your husband and I talked, and he was telling me all the losses you had. Mm. And he said, if we don't deal with it, we hold it in our body and it becomes illness. And he said, I have goosebumps as I'm telling you this. So as he said that, he goes, you probably haven't mourned. I'm guessing, you know, I owned a business. So I just started a recruitment business, my first one at the time. So I had a lot of, you know, excitement and pressure, and I wanted to get my business launched. And he said, you're probably focused on so many other things. We really need that time to mourn. And he said, I'm going to give you some recommendations. I want you to start getting massage. I want you to exercise. I want you to journal. And I really just, you know, do the things that bring you joy.
Wow.
And take some time for you right now. And he said, you know, we'll recommend, I ended up having to get a colonoscopy. I ended up finding out that I had diverticulitis, colitis. Okay. So I went home after that though. And I took all of his advice. I went and got a counselor. Mm-hmm. I had actually started yoga prior to that, but I really got back into more some yoga movement, breathing, and really meditation. Mm-hmm. I also went and started to get massage, just to, you know, let all of that go, let that energy go that I'd been holding. Mm-hmm. So it was a long process, Shira. It mm-hmm. took, I would say that healing process of awakening for me was a good, probably year or two. Wow. Going through that. And the first 3 months, I let out a lot of anger, just, and I allowed the anger to move through me. And my therapist
experience.
Oh, go ahead.
How did you experience that? And I wanted to ask as well, during your awakening process, did you feel it as emotion? How did you release it? How did it feel that when you were getting massaged or when you were doing yoga, was it layers being peeled off or waves of release? Or,
you know, it really was layers of emotion. And, you know, it feels like there was a lot of anger at why me. I had a lot of, you know, why is this happening to me? Why did I go through this?
Yes.
And, so it started with that, and I allowed that, you know, I just got the pillow out, and just took out a lot of anger on my pillow. And then I found books that helped me, you know, I really believe the right teachers come at the right time. Mm-hmm. I found a book by Louise Hay called Heal Your Life.
Oh yes. And I love that book.
Oh my gosh.
That woman to me when I was 20, and I was like, I'm not reading that hippie bollocks. But then, yeah, she's amazing, Louise Hay. I mean, she's dead now, but the books are still incredible, especially Heal Your Life is the best.
I know. And I realized as I started doing the exercises in that, it just started to peel away and help me examine my own journey and where I allowed myself not to say my truth or to live my truth. I just started to get a deeper awareness of myself in that 2-year process. I ended up, as a result of going through that awakening, getting a divorce, realized that I needed to start anew. I changed my career. I had been an accounting recruiter when I started that awakening, and I had just started that business placing accountants. And I learned to trust and follow my intuition. I was actually guided into the mining industry.
Oh, wow.
I knew nothing about the mining industry. And it was like a year later after I started the awakening that I knew, like, I just had such clarity. I am to figure out how to get into mining. So
wow.
I got,
mining.
I transitioned into the mining industry, and I met the most magical people that really, you would be surprised in mining. They have such a passion and love for Earth. And I'm not saying all of them. There's some corrupt people in every field that are there for the money. But most of what I found is individuals that really have a relationship with geology and the soil and nature and being in it. So I think that's what I needed at the time. So, mm-hmm. And they're very down to earth, you know, boots on the ground type people.
Well, you're connected to the earth, you're mining. So they must be very grounded. But can I just ask, is this for profit, this kind of mining? Are there different kinds of mining? Or
so everything, really everything we use comes from mining. And I mean everything.
Yes.
So, you know, you look at glass, the glass I have, I mean, that's from mining. So yes. Wood, everything is mined. Mm-hmm. Everybody I met, or what I did specifically in recruiting for mining, was absolutely for profit, mm-hmm. because you know, that's how we make technology and how we have desk and equipment and computers. However, I think
mental to the earth, this kind
of right. I think you have to be, and they have to be very focused. And I paid attention to which companies really cared about the reclamation of the earth and doing it in a way that felt
sustainable,
you know, in alignment with Mother Earth. So I know for some people, when they hear that, they go, oh my gosh, you know, mining and me being awakened and being guided into mining. But I really was. And I learned so much, and I learned not to judge. Like, don't judge a book until you really get in there and you figure it out on your own, use your own discernment. So it was a path that, and that's when it started. And and it continues. I mean, the path continues to unfold, I think, as we get older, because that was 15, 17 years ago.
Okay.
It continues to unfold for me as I peel back the layers. And
so you're still peeling back.
I really feel like I am, Shira. I think it's awakening is a process. And sometimes we shut down if something happens in our life, or we get too busy or focused on something. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're reminded to take the time and get still. I believe the awakening process is an inside job. We have to learn how to silence, to find that silence within, mm-hmm. and listen to that internal voice, that higher self that is our guide. Mm-hmm. And until we do that, you know, I being a recruiters move at pretty fast paces. That's been my background. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think sometimes I forget, and I have to remind myself, stop, be present. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about what I did yesterday, and just live in the moment and balance myself. Well,
I don't think it has to do with recruiting so much. I think it's just the way we are programmed through our culture. It's always about the future. It's always about more. We're never good enough. We always have to prove something. And that's why it's so hard for us. Or it's a practice. It's a process to become ourselves, and it's a practice to be present. You know, to be present is a practice in itself. And yeah, and I understand with the layers and the constantly discovering yourself. And sometimes I feel like when we have the awakening process, I call it like self-realization. We are slowly realizing who we truly are. And there is just so much to get rid of. In yoga, we even have a practice saying, this is not me. This is not me. Because you want to get to the point that is you, and you just negate and negate. It's a kind of meditation practice where you say, I am not this, I am not that. Because there are so many things that we identify ourselves with to have some kind of basis. But I've also discovered that there's it's not a progressive thing. Like, it's not like you always get more beautiful and more wonderful. There's also layers that you discover about yourself which are not so beautiful.
That is so true.
Yeah.
I love what you said. It's a practice. And the more we get to know ourselves, and really, I found the key for me is accept everything about ourselves, mm-hmm. and realize that even our flaws, they are lovely. Like, I'm really learning to sit every day. And I found myself just recently, just so you know, grabbing Louise Hay's book out again. Uh-huh. And I started with, you know, I love myself. Therefore, I am not going to allow this or that.
Yeah.
And I really try to do daily, you know, and I call them now, instead of affirmations, I call them affirmations. I already see it happening. As it's for me, it's for me. And it's another book I had read that said, do an affirmation anyway. Uh-huh. And I just have been saying, you know, good and joy come to me. And I need, you know, whatever I need to know comes. And the more I sit and be still, it does usually come. And I do want to say one thing, that there was a book. It was so profound, Shira. I'd love to share it with your listeners, with your audience.
I write everything down.
Oh my gosh. And I'm curious if you've heard of this individual. Her name is Anita Morjani.
Okay. No, I don't know.
She wrote a book, and it's called Dying to Be Me.
Oh.
And my mother gave it to me when she was going through lung cancer. So it really, I think, was intended for me. You know, when she gave it to me and I read it, I read it so quickly, and I found it to be one of the most profound messages that touched my soul of anything.
Okay.
And really what she says, well, first of all, let me just say that she went through, I think for 4 years, she had lymphatic cancer, mm-hmm. and she was in a coma, got so sick that she was down to like in her 80, 90 pounds, and went into a coma and had a near-death experience. And in the near-death experience that she had, she gained so much clarity of why we're here. And really, it was just so simple. It's just to be ourselves and to accept ourselves and to live true to our heart's calling.
Yes.
And then she gives some ideas of why she got cancer in the first place. She goes into the knowing that came over her of why she got sick in the beginning. And it was really a matter of choices, choices that were from the mind, you know, choices that you just said that we choose. Maybe we think it's great if we take a job just for the money, and we're going off, but really we're not listening to this voice say, no, you know, this doesn't serve you. Mm-hmm. And when you make choices like that, because really, truly, I believe, you know, the yoga world knows everything is energy. So as we don't, you know, follow our own energy, our trueness, and we accept, we do things like for me, you know, divorce or marrying somebody that I knew really I wasn't meant to marry.
Wow.
I did it more for, you know, a fear. I did it out of fear of not wanting to be alone.
Okay.
And thinking, oh, but he's such, you know, such a wonderful person and a nice guy. But yet I just had a knowing that there's something missing, and I did it anyway, more out of just, I'll do this. I don't know what else to do. So I took that path. And it led me here.
Conditioning, isn't it?
It is
on so many levels. And that's another thing that happens when you go through the awakening process. I don't know if you've ever read Jiddu Krishnamurti.
You know? No, I'll have to write that one down.
Yes, I will put it in the show notes. But I found his books, I think it's 2008, so it's like 14, 15 years ago. And I read him and I was crying with happiness because he's very radical. He was back in the 30s and the 40s. He's from the theistic society. He was brainwashed by them. They had taken him in as a young child from India, and they groomed him to be a messiah. And he believed it up until he was about 19. And then he started to awaken properly for himself. And he's the one who said, truth is a pathless land. So there is no path to truth. We all have to find it for ourselves. And no one can be your guru, because it's just you. You have to find you. And that is the hardest thing. And
that is why in my podcast, I always say courageous souls. Why some people, I believe, stay stuck.
Yeah.
It is
hard to have.
It is not an easy path to awaken, but once I do believe it's all of our soul's purpose to really find, as you just said, our inner truth, and the only person that can do that is us.
Yeah.
So the sooner we do it, the sooner.
Yeah. Right. But it's so scary. We're not taught that. If we were taught that at school, you know, if the whole mission of your life is to find yourself. So I just wanted to say, because you were talking about finding out what your mission is and your calling, and that it's you. And I had something as a child. So you lost a lot of people when you were older, and I lost my uncle just 10 days before my 10th birthday. And that was, he suicided. So for me, it was like the biggest question was, so why are we alive? You know, why should I even be happy about my birth or my birthday? What is the point? So for a long time, I was searching for that answer. And, you know, I read about Siddhartha and from Hermann Hesse, and I understood about enlightenment. And I was like, that's it. But then I had an experience of enlightenment, and that wasn't it. That is not the thing. It is a beautiful experience. It's amazing. It's mind-blowing, and love compared to that is silly. But it's still not that, because you cannot contain or hold on to or even establish yourself in that beautiful experience. You have to, it's again that practice. How do you bring that into daily life, that experience? And so me and Jolene were talking before about how you can experience that in waves, that beauty, that the gift comes through the unraveling of all the darkness as well. And the imperfection that we are makes us so beautiful, the quirkiness of ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, I was going to say what I loved what my acupuncturist said to me this week. As I do this, as I podcast now, I said to her, gosh, I'm going to go out and, you know, I'll probably stay in recruiting because I enjoy it. I learned balance. So I'll do it part-time now and continue this because I love to connect people. I find I'm a pathfinder. I help open doors for them. Uh-huh. And I told her what I was looking at doing. And she said, you know, life is an experiment. We need to play with it and have fun. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the conditioning we're taught, Shira, is that, oh my gosh, what if you make a mistake? What if you open that door and it's not your door? Mm-hmm. Life is, if we don't try to open up different doors and we just think that door behind us is the only door, I really believe we're not truly living and uncovering more about ourselves that will come out in this experiment called life. Yeah. The more we get to know who we are as we continue to just open up and go with the flow. The other thing I have found is typically what has worked to my highest good for joy, that has come, you know, in such joyful ways, comes from my intuitive state. And also really paying attention to the signs around me. So I don't think we have to go out anymore. And like, I'm allowing to see what jobs kind of come to me and then just discern which one feels right. We don't have to race after things, or we get an intuitive hunch like that I did. I needed to go into mining. Mm-hmm. And I followed the lead. I followed that inner calling, and I opened some doors and I was welcomed. And one of the quotes I always, you know, I talk about, I shared with you earlier, I'll share with everybody, is by Joseph Campbell. Mm-hmm. And he says, follow your bliss and the universe will open up doors for you where there were only walls. So you go and you try the door, and if it opens and there's not resistance and you just find your heart opening, you feel it. If you really get more in touch with your intuition and your inner, just your energy center, I really can feel my goosebumps come. For me, that's one of my signs. When I get those, I pay attention and I know that I need to, you know, just be open to whatever it's leading or wherever that door is leading. Okay. So here I am. And that led me to be a podcaster. I was interviewed for a book because I was telling my story about how I got into mining. And the author that interviewed me said, you know what, Jolene, you love to tell stories. I was telling her all my different stories. And she said, and I mentioned that I would love to write. Well, I thought I would write them, Shira, years later. I never wrote any of them. Finally, like 5-6 years later, the same friend said to me, honey, if we wait for you to write these stories, we might be waiting a while. Why don't you try podcasting? Because you love to talk to people. And when she said that, my goosebumps, you know, I got the goosebumps and I thought, oh my gosh, really? Podcasting? I never listened to a podcast.
No,
never listened to one in my life when I started podcasting. Oh. So I think the key is is we're open to the magic. I really believe life sometimes comes right to our door and we just have to be ready, be willing to say yes.
Yes, but can I also just interject with a different idea? Just some people, and even my experience, I know what you mean, and I do that too, and jump in and open doors. And sometimes my intuition doesn't tell me the right thing. And sometimes I have that feeling like, yes, my heart opens to this for example, I'll just give an example. I had a burnout 4 years ago, and the only thing that I could think and feel okay to do was go to Australia. And I was living here and I couldn't find a house, and I moved to Australia with my daughter to my mum's one bedroom apartment, which was a nightmare. But it was the only thing my heart actually felt like, okay, I can open up to that. I didn't know what else to do at that time. And it wasn't an easy trajectory, and I did end up coming back here. But the thing that happened there, that whole process and the dark night of the soul that started through that process, has brought me to the authenticity that we were talking about before. And that authenticity has come about by facing all those dark things. So I think that's also part of opening those doors. It doesn't mean it's all rosy and green gardens and beautiful pathways and shining light and birds singing in the background. Do you agree?
That's actually a great point. I would say that when I get the goosebumps, I typically have found tremendous fulfillment, more fulfillment in scenarios that lead me there. And I only get those, like, really that kind of guidance. Oh gosh, it isn't like it comes daily or weekly. It's sporadically, Shira, I get guided, but I have also followed my heart into scenarios that I know were intended for me to grow and to develop myself. And they weren't doors that people would go, oh my gosh, but the door, you know, it knocked you sideways. Meaning, but really it opened me up. It opened up my heart even more to know who I am. So to clarify that, I do believe our intuition will guide us to self-realization of who we truly are, and they will not always be easy. Okay. Easy lessons were given, and I agree with you there. I think some of the doors, you meet incredible people who you experience incredible relationships with, and you're guided, but it's not all. There are rainbows, and I've seen rainbows, and I'll give you an example. I'm going to give you an example of a few.
Yes.
So when I wasn't paying attention to things. I've been married 3 times.
Wow.
So my first marriage in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I married this individual, and during the reception at our wedding, the power transformer went out and we were left without power. And all my friends had tried to tell me, you know, why are you marrying this man? And I was in my, you know, 20, I started dating him around 20. I was young, and I really thought this is what love is. And I just didn't have enough experience. So I got married to him. Within a year, I'm divorced. And then, you know, a few years later, 3 or 4 years later, I got married again. And this time, before the wedding, our reception hall burned to the ground.
No.
A month before the wedding. So I do believe
these really strong signs.
No? I really do believe God isn't trying to knock us upside the head. I think if we don't listen and pay attention to the subtleness, we'll have even, you know, harder
lesson
experiences, journeys that come. Yeah. So then my third marriage, and I'm still happily married, may I report?
It's been, ask.
Been eight years. So I've been with him for 10, but after I got divorced from my second husband, who I was married to for 15 years, and we have a daughter, and we're very great friends. So, and I, you know, I'm grateful. And I know I was meant to come through that journey with him because mm-hmm. we have a beautiful daughter together. But, when I married my third husband, I paid more attention to everything. And I sat with it, and I'm not saying this, I don't know, you know, as we measure success. Does success mean we're with somebody long-term? Not always. I mean, I do believe people come and go from our lives for reasons, seasons, a lifetime.
Yes.
And for this particular marriage though, we ended up getting married in Hawaii, and at our wedding, there were double rainbows. So I just knew that God was saying to me, this is going to be a more joyful union. And it has been, I have met less resistance, you know, like we just have had an easy flow relationship. We communicate. There's a understanding we have about each other, and we allow each other to be ourselves. We don't like everything. We don't always agree on everything, but we've learned to love each other for our differences. So the point I'm making is, I do believe if we really are alert enough and we pay attention, we will be guided to the door that won't be as hard knocks, you know, as that get beat up so bad.
Yeah, there's an aspect of consciousness. You were more present and conscious to the signals, and also you're more experienced, so you understand what's right for you and what's not, and what you need. And
yes,
level of acceptance. You don't expect someone to be perfect, and they don't expect you to be perfect.
Right. So I'm at a point now when I, you know, got married, and yes, I'm older, you know, hopefully wiser, and I look at life too and go, oh my gosh, we take it so serious. Have fun with it. You know, that would be my advice. That's the advice I give to myself, Shira, every day. Just enjoy the journey as best as possible. Every day is an opportunity, you know, to really get closer. And for me, I do believe in the divine. I believe that we have assistance from the other side. That's why did those signs show up for me? You know, those, I have so many stories like that, and you can't make this stuff up. I mean,
you know,
some of the stories I'm like, good heavens, if people really thought that we were alone, I'm here to tell you there is magic on the other side from a divine force that loves us, that I have found loves us so deeply that when we open up to that, then when we really, and this has been my great aha, is when we really can truly love ourselves and all of our craziness and say that to ourselves over and over again, we actually put that energy out to the world, you know, in ways that's a ripple effect. And I believe that's what the healing and why we're going through so much chaos. I love what Bruce Lipton, the biologist, says about the times we're going through right now. He said,
Say, I need some wisdom, please.
Oh my gosh. This has helped me because it's so easy to go down the rabbit hole and look at what's going on in the world with, you know, just authoritarianism and tyranny and go, oh my gosh, where is this going? But you know what? He really did say this. And it just struck me. The world needs chaos right now, because if we continue to follow the titles and money and competition, greed, basically power, isn't our essence.
Yeah, it needs to crumble before we can build something new.
Right. And we have to be aware of it, Shira. Most people aren't even aware. Like when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was on a treadmill, just going out and doing a job and not even aware of what really was going on under the scenes. So I think this is happening to awaken people to our power. And we have been taught by the medical industry, especially here in the States. I don't know what it's like in the Netherlands, but when I went through that, I was blessed to have found God put that, whether you call it God or the universe, put that, you know, ER doctor in my path. Most of the doctors I experienced before that were just trying to give me pills. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is just really all they are, in my opinion. 90% of them are drug dealers.
Yes.
It is legalized drug dealing. You're just trying to get people addicted.
I can tell you two experiences I've had that just off the top of my head. As a young child, as a 12-year-old, I started smoking. And sneakily, I went to my own doctor to get medicine because I didn't want to stop the smoking, but I got tonsillitis pretty much every month. And he never once asked me, what are you doing? What are you eating? Are you smoking? Nothing like that. He just gave me antibiotics. After 2 years of getting antibiotics, I was seeing that he was just giving me different ones each time. And each time the dose would just get stronger. So I'd be in a cycle. I'd be getting one that I got 3 months ago, a higher dose. And at one point I said, I don't want these anymore. I want to take my tonsils out. He said, you're 14. It's dangerous. I said, okay, well, I'll do it myself. And then I went home and my mom had not that I would take my t- tonsils out.
Right.
Yeah, my mom had the vitamin Bible, it was called. And so you could look up any health issue and see which vitamins and foods you needed to take. So I did that religiously. I was following these vitamins and it started to change. Instead of every month, it was every 3 months, 6 months. And then I never got it again till I took antibiotics 30 years later, you know. And so after that, I decided I'm not going to doctors unless I really can't help myself with herbs and supplements and food. I went to a gynecologist because I thought I had chlamydia. And he said, why do you think you have chlamydia? I said, I've had it before and I had this kind of dull pain in my womb. And he said, you can't feel it. I said, well, I feel it. He said, well, anyway, do you want to get pregnant? I said, not now. He said, well, it's a great contraceptive. And so I went and looked. Yeah, you can make your eyes really big. I looked on the internet. Thank God we had the internet back then already. So this is 20 years ago. And I saw that if I had chlamydia for more than a few months, I could become infertile. And 25% of people do feel something when they have it. So I was so furious. I was just like, and I've had more of these kinds of experiences, how often I've had doctors thinking it was in my head when I really had an infection or something else. So for me, yeah. I've always done everything myself, and I'm kind of anti-pharma, you know, and that is definitely, and I've researched the last 3 years because the burnout really got so messy. I was having perimenopause on top of burnout, and so my hormones were all over the place. I couldn't control my emotions. My mental state was really screwed up, and I just had to understand what was going on, and it wasn't going to be doctors. It was working with my emotions. And what you were talking about before, I think, is really important. And we were speaking about it with Amanda last week, is the energetic charge that we have, and that raising our vibration and feeling and tuning into what we feel is right or wrong for us at any given moment. And we have to think that things are subjective. You know, what's right for me doesn't mean it's right for you. What's right for that person doesn't mean it's right for the whole world. So it's all subjective, and there's context, and there's so many layers. We are just multifaceted beings having this embodied experience.
We are. And there is a documentary out I watched. It's called Thrive On.
Oh,
Thrive okay. On. And they have a new one. It's called Thrive On 2.
Okay.
And I will tell you that they really showcase how, not only just from a healthcare system, but from a monetary system, our financial system, mm-hmm. how we've gone astray and how powerful our bodies are to heal in that documentary, just so you know.
Yes.
Case after case.
Yes.
I mean, if we truly take care of it the way you do, and I do the same thing, I'm a huge believer in, you know, I call my herbalist. I have a hotline to her once in a while where I go, what's and I research things on my own, and I go to, if I do go to a doctor, it's typically unless, you know, a functional doctor, unless I did have my appendix rupture 4 years ago, and I did end up in the hospital. And
yeah, of course, luckily, it's important to have hospitals and normal allopathic.
Absolutely.
For crisis.
Yes.
But that's
broken bones or things we can't heal on our own, or you're in a car accident or in me in a scenario, they actually didn't even take out my appendix. They drained it because I've been treating it with the herbs for 8 days. Wow. And when I walked in there, he said, we've never seen anybody still walking after 8 days of your appendix rupturing.
Wow.
So I learned how powerful our bodies are.
Yes.
And if we truly listen to it, and the key for me I have to be reminded, Shira, is, is, you know, you feel really good. You take everything for granted. This is me. And then I get busier and busier. Oh, you know, because I feel like, gosh, I'll do that. And I have to learn how to say no. I'm still learning. No. No, I think I need rest today.
Yes. And yeah.
And I think that's, you know, just balancing life. And that's why for me, I am going to look for part-time opportunity that I really enjoy doing, mm-hmm. continue to build, you know, my podcast, my webinars I do, and have fun with it and enjoy every day, because really every day is such a gift. And the more present I am today, and I let tomorrow take care of itself, because one of the beliefs I know I've had to unravel within myself to become really conscious of, that's led me to make poor decisions, is a fear of money, a fear that I will be left out on the street. And I mean, if you get down, and when I was really unraveling it, oh my gosh, I'm going to be homeless.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to end up homeless, probably maybe in another lifetime. Who knows? Whatever that fear is, yeah. I realized it takes so much trust. But when I would trust and let go is usually when more abundance has come to me. And I'm learning, I'm still learning. And that's what I'm still continuing to learn and trust, just to allow, I don't have to chase. Money comes to us if we are true to ourselves and follow our heart.
Our original DNA is to thrive. You know, life, the very fact that a cell splits and becomes two cells and then eight cells and so on and so forth. And at one point, those cells start to become differentiated and they are intelligent and they start to have their own functions. That is not without magic. You know, that is not without purpose. That is so intelligent. And that is our DNA. What's his name? Charles Darwin, in his book, The Descent of Man, he speaks about love 95 times, and he only mentioned survival of the fittest once. And if you think about this survival of the fittest, it is the basis of our scarcity mentality, and that people want to fight each other and that we're all evil and selfish, which is total nonsense. We are social species, and our social needs and connections are what give us health. You see it when you give birth to a baby. It's like that love just pours out. There is love, you know.
And look at the indigenous tribes. Like when you study some of them compared to the really rich, some of the really elite rich people, who do you think's happier?
Well, yes.
It isn't the really rich people.
It's not Gates and the gang, no.
No, it isn't Gates, Zuckerberg, or I guarantee they are probably not sitting home every day. Greed,
the most unhappy, fearful, sick people. Oh, it's horrible. I can't wait for them to drop dead. I wish they were just flies that I could just slap on the wall.
I have learned, though, they do what they do from a lack of love, from a lack of self-love.
Yeah, no, I feel sorry for them. Obviously, they really had a horrible childhood. Otherwise, they wouldn't be these screwed up people.
Right. They do. You know, Hitler, I heard that Hitler always wanted to be an artist. and he didn't pursue his calling. I think if we don't pursue our calling and we have fear, we become really angry people.
Yeah.
And we take it out. We just project,
I think this is something that I discovered through writing my book. We have this aspect, we have three aspects of mind, but one is the active, you know, comparing, measuring, gaining, producing. Then we have the receptive, which is storing all that information that we take in. And then there is the creative. And if the creative is not used, which is what most of our culture is lacking, just being purely expressive, emotional, creative, connecting, then there is that huge frustration, which becomes misaligned, you know, and it's also that imaginative and fantasizing part of the brain that is suppressed and therefore goes into perverted kind of forms of oppression and dictatorship. And
Shira, I totally agree with you. And you know, that is, I was going to say, I wrote an ebook I really feel like I just kind of channeled it. It's called Make Your Own Music.
Oh, wow.
And it is to help people awaken their creativity. And really the music is a metaphor for our life, because I am not a musician. it came to me of, you know, we're here to play. And if we don't play and be creative, What's then the we become oppressive, like you said, and we become destructive to ourselves. And then we just, yeah. Right.
Well, I'll put that in the link. I'll put that book in.
That would be great.
Yes.
I hope it helps some people. It certainly helped me writing it with such a joy. And it just gives some tools, probably as yours does. I'll check your book out as well. Is your book on Amazon?
Not yet. It isn't published yet. I'm doing the last revision. It's had 8 revisions. And each time it just gets more clear on what you want to say. You get rid of all the extra words that don't need to be there.
Well, congratulations. I was going to say, when I say I never write, I do write periodically. Yeah. when I get that really huge inspiration to do that. So I have, I do have one published book
on
Amazon. When I was in recruiting for so many years, my former colleague and I decided to share our wisdom from being, because I'd worked as an entrepreneur, I'd worked as a recruiter, and then I actually did work for Northrop Grumman for a period. So I worked inside of a big Fortune 100 company, and I thought, you know what, we need to share with the folks that we help support what tools we learned. And she came from an HR background. So I did publish a book last year. I have to say it was so, took me 3 years to do.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. That's how long this is taking.
3 years.
And how did you find the experience? Was it difficult?
Writing, it does not come easy to me. And I probably would never have done it if Christy hadn't done it with me. Okay. So we did it together. And because it was a joint effort, it was way more fun for me. You know, my ebook's simple, channeled, easy. It's short, sweet, like 20 pages, right around there. Right. Yeah. But to write a real book, it does take.
Yeah. And now I look at all my books and I go, wow, all these amazing people. so much.
Right. Such respect. Appreciation and gratitude for them, especially like Anita Marjani's book changed my life, still changes my life. Wow. Louise Hay, but to sit down and to do that, what a gift.
Yeah. Well, I listen to writers and they all say it's a lot of work. That the first draft is like vomit, and then you have to go through that
and get
all the extraneous stuff until you get the core.
Practice.
Yeah,
it's just practice. We're practicing
again,
and, right? And I keep Michael Jordan's quote in front of me, and this is what I say every time I write or I start something new. Uh-huh. I say this: I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. Uh-huh. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game shot and missed. I failed over and over and over again. And that is why I succeed.
Oh,
isn't that beautiful? I remember that because life is, and I don't even look at it as failures. It's just practice.
Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to share.
Yes. Yes. Is there anything else you want to leave listeners with?
I would just say to share with your listeners, awakening is, even though there is some pain, it is worth it. The consciousness and the love that just continues to flow. And as we get to know ourselves, you know, as I always say, it's such an inside job. Have fun with it. Enjoy the journey. And we're always supported. So, and we have to ask for help. The one thing I would say is don't be afraid to ask for support or help. And thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, you're welcome. I loved doing this. And I'm so glad you were so spontaneous.
I've learned to be spontaneous, Shira. Okay. So
and that was a practice too.
Yes, I'm practicing. Be spontaneous and allow joy to just show up. So thank you. This was so fun.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
So thank you, everyone, for staying to the end of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I really love doing these talks with these amazing people. And if you want to know more, just take a look in the show notes. There's plenty of links and ways to connect with either the guest or myself. If you want to work with us or find out more about us, just check out the information in the show notes. So I hope you have a wonderful weekend or week, and you'll be hearing from me next week. Bye.